The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. The original and immortal stories of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, dramatized anew, with Sir Ralph Richardson as Dr. Watson and Sir John Gielgud in the role of Sherlock Holmes.
In the third week of November, in the year 1895, a dense yellow fog settled down upon London. From the Monday to the Thursday, I doubt if it was ever possible to see the opposite houses from our window in Baker Street. The first of these 3 days, Sherlock Holmes spent in music, and in cross-indexing his huge book of criminal references. But when, for the fourth time, we saw the greasy, heavy brown swirl still drifting past us and condensing in oily drops on the window panes, Holmes' whole impatient nature could endure such drab existence no longer. It was fortunate for both of us that there suddenly arrived for him a telegram.
Mycroft, Watson, it's from Mycroft, thank heaven.
Your brother Holmes?
Of course. You remember him from that affair of the Greek interpreter, of course.
Oh, of course, yes. Even if it's difficult to think of you with a family.
Oh.
You're an isolated phenomenon.
No, not so long as Mycroft thrives. Believe it or not, Watson, Mycroft is an even more remarkable man than I am.
Well, what does this remarkable brother of yours do in Whitehall? I seem to remember he's some kind of post under the government.
Under? My dear Watson, Mycroft is the government.
Oh, come, my dear.
He draws £450 a year, remains a subordinate, with no ambitions of any kind, and yet the same great powers, which I have turned to the detection of crime, make Mycroft the central clearinghouse of every fragment of vital knowledge in the country.
Oh, my dear.
Everyone consults him from the highest in the land. There's no state secret which he does not share. And that, again, is why this telegram is so remarkable.
And I still don't know what's in it.
Here, read it, ma'am.
Must see you about Cadogan West. Coming at once, Mycroft.
Yes, and perhaps you'll be able to tell me, Watson, who this Cadogan West is. You're always buried in the newspapers. The name sounds vaguely familiar, I must confess.
Yes, of course, Holmes. He's the young fellow who was found dead on the Underground Railway on Tuesday morning.
Ah, found dead. And on the Underground, you said?
Yeah, well, quite literally on it, Holmes. Lying just beside the track outside Aldgate Station. I remember it all now. He'd plainly fallen out of a carriage.
Or been thrown out, eh? Where was he travelling from?
Nobody knows. He didn't have a ticket.
No tickets. Dear me, Watson, this is really very singular. What else is known about him, do you remember?
27 years of age, I think, yes. And engaged to be married. And he was a clerk at the Woolwich Arsenal. The naval office, you know.
Beautifully succinct, Watson. Government employee, eh? So behold the link with Brother Mycroft. Ah, and here comes Mycroft himself, if I'm not mistaken. I know that heavy step.
Sherlock, my dear fellow. This is a most annoying business.
Welcome, my dear Mycroft.
Oh.
Ah, and Lestrade with you, too. The good Lestrade of Scotland Yard. We are honoured.
Your servant, Mr. Holmes. Dr. Watson.
Hello, Lestrade.
I must sit down, sir.
Oh, here.
How are you? How do you do, sir?
You, Dr. Watson. You'll forgive us, I'm sure.
Oh, Lestrade. I never have any secrets from Watson, Mycroft.
But this is...
Yes, but you can count on my discretion, sir.
Very well, but... Oh, Lestrade, close the door. Make certain no one can be listening.
Very good, Mr. Holmes.
As you know, I dislike altering my habits, Sherlock. In the present state of Siam, it's most awkward that I should be away from the office, but the powers that be would take no denial. I've never seen the Prime Minister so upset, and as to the Admiralty, it's buzzing like an overturned beehive.
Really? And all because of a dead clerk without a railway ticket in his pocket.
You know the facts, then?
My invaluable Watson has just been priming me.
Ah, as much as I could, only what I've been reading in the papers.
What the papers couldn't mention, Doctor, was that if West didn't have a ticket in his pocket, he at least had something else.
Ah-ha. Uh-huh.
Some technical papers, Sherlock. And I need say no more than that they were... Lestrade, no one could overhear us?
No one, sir.
The Bruce Partington plans, Sherlock. Well, great heavens, man, you've heard of them. You must have heard of them. The plans of the Bruce Partington submarine.
I know the name, of course, and of the invention.
Hush, Sherlock. You may take it from me that naval warfare becomes an impossibility within the radius of a Bruce Partington.
Is that so?
Of course, the world has heard of the submarine, but the plans themselves have been most closely guarded. There isn't a foreign power that would give a fortune for them.
Uh-huh.
Under no conceivable circumstances were they to be taken from the office at Woolwich. And yet here we find them, in the pockets of a dead junior clerk in the heart of London.
They've been found, then?
No, Doctor.
But you said that...
10 papers were taken from the safe at Woolwich, and there were only 7 in the pockets of this wretched youth. The 3 most essential are gone. Stolen, vanished. Sherlock, you must drop everything to find them.
Indeed, but I may be busy, Mycroft.
Oh, never mind your petty puzzles at the police court. This is vital, international.
Then why don't you solve it yourself? You can see as far as I can.
It's a question of getting details. Give me your details and I'll solve you anything from an armchair. But to run here and there and to cross-question railway guards and to lie on my face with a lens to my eye, you know my methods, Sherlock. No, you're the fellow, the only one in the world. If you were fancy to see your name in the next honours list...
Oh, really, Mycroft, I play the game for the game's own sake, and on those terms only.
Well?
I'll do what I can.
Oh, thank heaven. Doctor, if you would be good enough to pass over the whiskey and soda...
Certainly, certainly, of course.
Ah, thank you, thank you. Now, Sherlock, the facts, the facts.
And so Lestrade and I, at first rather silent before those two remarkable brothers, came to hear of the events that had led up to the theft of the vital plans. We learned that the official guardian of the papers had been the famous government expert, Sir James Walter, that there were 2 keys to the safe. Sir James had one himself, and that he'd spent the fatal night at his home in Berkeley Square, a fact that was vouched for by his brother, Colonel Valentine Walter. The other key was kept by the chief clerk, and he also was at his home that night. We argued, Lestrade and I, that Cadogan West, the traitor, must have obtained a 3rd key.
Yes, that he presumably travelled to London with the papers to sell them to some foreign agent.
And that perhaps a price had not been agreed, and that he'd set off back to Woolwich to return the plans to the safe.
The agent had followed him, murdered him in the train.
And that the most vital of the papers was taken from his pocket, and that his body was thrown onto the line.
Well, that's good, Watson. Good, good. You argue admirably, and you too, Lestrade. Yes, as you describe it, it holds together at least. But if you're right, the case is at an end. What is there for us to do, Mycroft?
To act, Sherlock. To act. Of course, the explanation holds together. Yet all my instincts are against it. As I can see that yours are, there are too many circumstances unresolved.
Well, at least it'll serve to break the bleak monotony of this fog. Come along, Watson. You too, Lestrade.
Yes,
we do. Mycroft, oh no, it's no good asking you, of course.
Yeah.
We'll begin our investigations, I think, by a visit to Aldgate Station.
I'll get my coat.
Goodbye, Mycroft. You shall have my report in due course. Oh, before we go, pray write me the names of the most important foreign agents you know to be operating at present here in London.
Very well. There are only 3. There are your names.
Thank you, Mycroft. Come, Watson, to Aldgate. Fortunately, the fog has lifted a little at last. This is the spot, Lestrade.
It is, Mr. Holmes. That's where the young fellow's body lay. Just there beside the track, where it comes out of the tunnel.
Ah, yes, interesting. Most interesting. Do you notice the presence of anything, Watson?
No. Nothing. Nothing at all, Holmes.
Well, shall I put it then, the absence of anything?
There. Well, there. Ah, of course. Of blood.
Just so. And yet, as I understand it, there was a considerable wound, Lestrade.
The bone was crushed right into the head.
The railway carriage, then, if he was murdered in the carriage, must be covered in blood.
No, Doctor. Every single carriage on this line that night has been examined.
Inside?
Of course. Where else?
Nothing. Nothing. I suppose, Lestrade, that except at a junction like Aldgate here, there are no great numbers of points on a railway system like this.
Oh, I know very few, I'd say.
Yet here there are so many, you see, and all on a curve, just as the lines begin to come out of the station. Well, the case grows in interest, Watson. I must study Mycroft's list of spies in the hansom. Thank you, Lestrade. I shall be in touch with you when Watson and I have paid our little visit.
Our visit home?
Yes, to Berkeley Square.
But Cadogan West lived at Woolwich.
Nevertheless, we visit Berkeley Square. Come, Watson. Our business is with Sir James Walter, the distinguished government expert whose decorations and accomplishments fill at least two whole columns in Who's Who. Good day, Lestrade.
Yet in this case of surprises, we still had one more when we arrived at Berkeley Square. We were ushered into a dimly lit drawing room in the house of the great statesman scientist, and we were joined there by a very tall and handsome gentleman of 50 or so, who introduced himself as Sir James' brother, Colonel Valentine. And from him we learnt, to our distress, that Sir James was dead.
This morning, Mr. Holmes, this morning. You will forgive me, I've hardly recovered from the blow.
I'm deeply sorry, Colonel Valentine, deeply sorry. How did he die, may I ask?
It was this horrible scandal of the plans.
Oh.
My brother was a man of very sensitive honor. The papers were in his charge, you understand. It broke his heart.
Yes, yes, sincerely sorry. We had hoped that he might give us some indications that would help us to clear the matter up.
It was as much a mystery to him as to all of us, Dr. Watson.
He had no doubt, I suppose, that Cadogan West was guilty.
None, sir. Consider the facts, after all. A young fellow and his fiancée were walking to Woolwich Theatre that night. Suddenly, as they were passing the naval offices, he darted away and left her in the fog.
And she never saw him again. Dreadful. But why this sudden disappearance? Can you explain it?
Obviously gone to steal the papers.
Ah.
No doubt some agent had corrupted him. He needed money. He took the papers to London and met his death by some form of double crossing, as I believe it's known in such circles.
Yes, yes, of course. That's the only explanation indeed.
But you can understand, Mr. Holmes, how deeply disturbed I am.
Naturally, Colonel. Forgive me for having taken up so much of your time already. Come, Watson, we must take our leave. Goodbye, Colonel.
Good day, sir.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
And now, Watson, to Baker Street. Then I shall leave you for a little on business of my own, but we shall meet again later tonight at Goldoni's restaurant in the Gloucester Road in Kensington. You'll join me there at 9, Watson, and kindly bring a jemmy, a dark lantern, and a revolver with you.
It had to be. Once more, Sherlock Holmes was at his most mysterious. I watched him, in Baker Street, pore over a map of London, consulting again and again the list of known foreign agents which Mycroft had given him.
There are numerous small fry, but only three key men worth considering in connection with the sale of the plans to a foreign power. Adolf Meyer in Westminster, Louis La Ruff here in Notting Hill, and Hugo Oberstein of Caulfield Gardens, Kensington.
Yet how could Holmes tell which of the three was most likely? In the late afternoon, he went out. The fog was still persistent, although less heavy than in the morning, and just before 9, I made my own way through it, wrapped heavily in a bulging overcoat, and so met him, as arranged, in Goldoni's restaurant, where he'd just finished dinner.
Watson, my dear, infallible Watson, let me offer you a cup of coffee.
No, thanks.
Well, this is quite a singular adventure, Watson. I fear that up to now I've kept you rather in the dark.
You always do.
The tools I mentioned, the burglar's tools, you got them under my coat. That's why I haven't dared to take it off. Excellent. The proprietor's been so very kind as to present me with this cigar. Do have it, my dear fellow.
No, thank you.
They're less poisonous than one would expect.
Oh, well, thank you. But I'd rather have an explanation.
Well, so you shall. What is it exactly that you want me to explain?
Whose house is it we're going to burgle?
Oh, yes, of course. The house of Mr. Hugo Oberstein at 13 Caulfield Gardens.
What, the third name on your brother's list?
The same. Come, Watson. Waiter, my hat and coat. It is time for us to go.
But how do you know that Oberstein's the one? There were three names on the list.
By the fact that there was no blood beside the railway line at Aldgate Station or in any of the railway carriages of the trains that night.
But, my dear Holmes...
Come, it isn't such a mystery. Quite elementary, in fact. It all hinges on the fact that this young man had no ticket in his pocket.
Meaning simply that he must have lost it once he was in the train.
Meaning that he was never in the train at all.
Good heavens.
But consider, Watson, is it a coincidence that the body is found at the very point where the train pitches and sways as it comes round a curve over the railway points? The body was on the roof, Watson.
The roof? The roof? Of course.
He had met his death elsewhere, and then the body was laid on the roof of a carriage, and it rolled off onto the line at Aldgate just as the train swung round. There was no blood, of course, because the murder had been done elsewhere.
Couldn't he have been dropped from a bridge?
Impossible. The carriage roofs are slightly rounded. He was placed.
Placed? Placed? But how? And where?
Barely 100 yards from where we are now.
Huh?
It's a simple matter of consulting a map of London, my dear fellow, as I did, and I found that of the addresses given to us by Mycroft, the only one adjacent to this particular branch of the Aldgate line is number 13 Caulfield Gardens.
Oberstein's house. Oh, splendid, Holmes, splendid. You've never risen to a greater height.
Thank you, my dear fellow. And here, if I'm not mistaken, is the house itself. I've been able to ascertain that Oberstein left hastily for the continent yesterday afternoon. So we plainly cannot call upon him in the ordinary way, and so we shall burgle his empty house for evidence. There seems to be nobody in sight. Are you quite ready, Watson?
Yes. It's not the first time that we've gone housebreaking, is it? We're almost experts. Remember the Milverton case, Holmes? Oh, dash it.
Now, Watson, control yourself. I thought he was supposed to be expert.
Yes, well, the Milverton case was 13 years ago.
Ah, oh, yes, time flies, does it not? Here we are. I fancy this back room is the one we're looking for.
Yes, you were right about the railway, Holmes. It's just below the window.
I thought so.
One of those places where the underground comes to the surface. Deuced noisy house to live in, I'd say.
But a convenient one for the disposing of corpses. Listen, there's a train coming now. You stay there, Watson, and watch how closely beneath the window the carriage roofs pass.
What are you doing, Holmes?
Prowling about, seeing what I can find.
The missing papers, eh?
Of course not. There's someone on the continent by this time. No, maybe I can lay my hands on that might serve as a clue. There's a box here.
What's in it, Holmes?
Attend to your own business, man. The train. Push open the window.
Holmes, a few feet below us.
Ah, just so. And given the fact that a train pulled up outside there that night, as I checked they sometimes do, because of an intersection beyond the tunnel...
The thing's simplicity itself. And look, look, Holmes. Here are bloodstains on the sill.
Oh, you're becoming quite observant, my dear fellow. I noticed them the moment we came in. However, this little box, do you see it?
What's in it?
Cuttings. From the personal column of the Globe newspaper, if I'm not mistaken, judging by the print and colour. As you know, I've made a study of such things.
Hold the lantern, Holmes. Let me see.
Yeah, they're pinned together in consecutive order. It's plainly the way in which Oberstein communicated with his confederate.
Here is it. Yes. Stuff waits you when goods delivered, terms agreed, signed, Pierrot. And here's another. It's the last of them. Look, Holmes. Monday night after 9, 2 taps. Payment in hard cash when commission fulfilled.
Also signed, Pierrot. And Monday night. Significant, Watson. I think that a visit to the Globe offices would not be amiss before we retire for the night. Then a lazy day tomorrow, perhaps. Except that you'll have a couple of telegrams to send off.
Telegrams? To whom?
One to my brother and the other to Lestrade, asking them both to meet us in this house here tomorrow evening, just before 9 o'clock.
In this house, Holmes?
Yes, the front room this time, I think. Yes, the front room.
What I don't understand is why you brought us here to Kensington at this time of night, Mr. Holmes.
To show you the thief, Mycroft. Have you seen the latest message from Pierrot? Show him this morning's newspaper, Watson.
Yes. There you are.
Tonight, same hour, same place, 2 taps. Your own safety at stake.
My dear Sherlock, if he answers that, we've got him.
That's exactly what I thought myself when I put it in.
Unless it was Cadogan West after all, of course, in which case he can't come.
Oh, I fancy it wasn't West. No young man would think to leave his fiancée alone in a foggy street while he rushed off to commit a daring robbery. He'd plan more carefully so as to be alone at the time. No.
No, wait, Holmes, wait. Footsteps. Someone's coming to the front door.
Excellent. Do you three hide behind this inner one whilst I go and let him in? This way. You're expected.
Now, Watson, on him! The strange deputy!
Got him, Mr. Holmes!
Got him!
What's this? What's this, I say?
Colonel Walter. Colonel Valentine Walter.
The same. I wasn't quite sure till now if he was the bird we were looking for. Well, Mycroft,
Sir James's brother. I should have known.
I demand an explanation. I came here to visit Mr. Oberstein.
Of course you did. And we know why, sir. We know everything.
How any English gentleman could behave in such a manner is beyond my comprehension.
Oh, it's true. Before heaven, it's true. Don't think I haven't hated myself every minute of it. Thank heavens it's over at last.
Colonel Walter... You must have taken an impression of your brother's keys.
Yes. I was in need of cash. I'd been gambling. I knew I could get money from Oberstein. I went to the Woolwich office that night and I...
Yes, and young West must have seen you and recognized you in the fog as he passed there with his fiancée.
Yes. He'd been suspicious of you for some time. He left his private concerns and followed you like the good citizen he was.
And then I suppose he saw you steal the papers and he came after you to this house and to his death.
Oh, before heaven, I didn't kill him, gentlemen. It was Oberstein when he rushed to the door and demanded what we were going to do with the plans.
Yes, but you helped to lay him on the roof of the train when it stopped outside.
Yes, I helped. Oberstein made me.
Why did you put the 7 papers in his pocket?
To divert suspicion. To make everyone think it was West who was the thief. Oberstein kept the important ones, the only ones he needed.
Your brother, Sir James Walter, suspected you too. It was that that killed him.
Yes, he suspected too. He saw me with his keys one day.
Now, you have an address for Oberstein on the continent, I presume.
Yes.
You'll write to him then. You'll tell him that you have discovered an important detail missing from the plans he has. You'll say that you can't leave the country yourself, so that he must come back to you. You'll meet him, say, in the smoking room at the Charing Cross Hotel at noon on Saturday next. Will that serve, Mycroft?
Quite admirably, Sherlock. I could hardly have conceived it better myself. I'll be very surprised indeed if it doesn't fetch our man.
And it did. It's a matter of history now how Oberstein came to the Lure and was safely engulfed for 15 years in a British prison. In his trunk were the vital papers, which he put up for auction in all the naval centers of Europe. As to Holmes, I learned not long afterwards that he spent a day at Windsor, whence he returned with a remarkably fine emerald tie pin. He told me that it was a present from a gracious lady in whose interests he'd carried out a small commission. Then, as he played his violin that evening, his eyes travelled slowly from the pin where it lay on the table to those famous revolver practice marks he once had made on the wall of our sitting room, spelling out V.R. And it required no great effort of his own deductive methods for me to guess the lady's august name, and to reflect that the emerald pin would forever recall to my friend's memory the notable adventure of the Bruce Partington plan.
Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, based on the original stories of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, have been dramatized anew with original music composed by Sidney Torch. Sir Ralph Richardson played the part of Dr. Watson, and Sir John Gielgud that of Sherlock Holmes. The program was produced by Harry Allen Towers.